Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Indeed, do email todaycb at rte.ie with your parenting queries for David Coleman, which we're going to get to after 11 o'clock. As we're also going to be looking at child benefit top-up and 2 more weeks parental leave being among measures that the government would like you to know that they are considering. And we're going to look at that apparent attack overnight on the Russian-built Kerch Bridge to Crimea, as well as our beginner's guide to Amy Winehouse. I want right now, though, to talk about single-use plastics, disposable surgical gowns, water use. Have you ever considered the carbon footprint that healthcare generates in this country? Certainly not the first thing that comes to mind for many people when we consider sustainability, but it's a serious issue, one that my next guest is working to highlight. Derek Cawley, spinal surgeon and consultant with Irish Doctors for the Environment, joins me now in studio. Good morning to you, Derek.
Hi,
how are you? When we think about waste, we don't think about medical waste as necessarily being the greatest of sinners, but it is a really serious issue, is it not?
Absolutely. If the waste from healthcare was counted as a country, it would be the fifth highest polluting nation in the world. So this is huge. Within our own country, of course, our biggest employer in Ireland is the HSE. The biggest estate in the country is the HSE. So Irish hospitals have a significant amount, plus the primary care level healthcare.
Does that fifth highest in the world figure include food, or is that just the waste in gowns, curtains, single-use instruments and so on?
It would include the food waste. So a survey done there in the last 2 years within the Irish hospitals context showed that up to 50% of all food in Irish hospitals is wasted. So food waste is a significant component of this, plus the fact that food is often sourced overseas, and you have a double impact there in terms of its carbon footprint.
OK, among the non-food waste items then, what are the big sinners?
So risk waste is a massive aspect. Risk waste is stuff that is potentially contaminated, and therefore its safest method of disposal is to burn it. So that obviously has a huge carbon footprint in itself.
I saw a figure very recently about that, that the disposal of surgical waste costs 20 times more than ordinary waste. Do you have any idea why it should be so expensive?
It starts with infection, really. The CJD scare is a good 25 years old now.
Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease.
Exactly. And there was this evidence at the time that potentially patients were infected through hospitals. And at the time, it was very specialised neurosurgical procedures where there were historic reports. But nonetheless, that took hold in terms of the dump single-use type of culture that we've embraced within healthcare. And that in itself has never been proven. So as a result, over the last 20 years, certainly when I started as a junior doc over 20 years ago, we were using, for example, reusable surgical gowns, wraps, drapes in our theatre environment. Now, I say theatre environment because obviously as a surgeon, I would see at my own surgeries, the waste that comes out of theatre. It's a highly contaminating, polluting environment. Up to 30% of all healthcare waste comes from the theatre environment alone.
Okay.
Second of all,
and that just can't be sent down to the Ring's End incinerator. It needs special, unique treatment, does it?
So the healthcare waste, you are correct, is burned elsewhere, albeit that the incinerator is an incinerator, be it in Ring's End or in, for example, Europe, where it's typically sent. But the idea is that as opposed to that single use concept, that we would return to the old ways of doing things, which are much cheaper. So, for example, a ton of waste to burn it is about €2,000 per ton to burn, as opposed to sterilise that, which would be cost about €1,000 per ton to sterilise. And you're saving on the cost of having to buy it again in the first place. And the next level then would be, we'll say, you're recycling. Now, of all of the things, I would say the biggest myth in the whole attitudes to carbon footprint and how we can be more sustainable within healthcare is this notion that we can recycle better. Nothing could be further from the truth. Recycling is a very particular, specialised and exclusionary way of managing our waste, whereas the simplest cheapest, best thing to do is to recognise what can be redone, reused, re-sterilised properly using high quality equipment.
Okay, but is this an additional burden that we want to be placing on the shoulders of already overstretched hospital staff, or is this something that can be taken outside of the hospital to be done?
Well, if you're talking about recycling, first of all, if you put something into a recycling bin, you're sending it off to the great recycling centre that is not particularly well known.
Okay, but I was thinking more about sterilisation.
So sterilisation, we have sterilisation facilities within our hospitals anyway. We use them all the time for stuff that is reused all of the time. So definitely you can rewash, reuse and apply that without additional cost. The second thing is that if you take a step back and look at what we do within healthcare. So obviously I mentioned contaminated waste as a high cost, something that we can do something about. I mentioned food waste as something we can definitely do something about. In terms of our drugs, the upstream emissions. So we buy that carbon footprint from the drug company that makes that drug. That has a high carbon footprint. So the actual drugs component is massive. So as you can appreciate, the disposal of drugs that are not used, that is a high carbon footprint. So waste is a massive aspect for drugs as well as for devices as well as there is for food. So waste in itself is obviously a part of this. But the carbon footprint that we buy is high as well.
I know there was a study done some years ago in the HSE on food waste, and particularly, or it highlighted that there was €600,000 worth of salt and pepper sachets a year that were going to waste, because once they had crossed that hygiene barrier and been placed on a tray that was given to a patient, even if they weren't used, they could only be thrown out. The way that it was suggested that they get around this waste was to just ask people as they were receiving their meal, do you want salt and pepper sachets? And if they don't, they don't go onto the tray. So I'd imagine that that principle of just asking very basic fundamental questions about how is it that we're using this and is there a better way of using it might save you an awful lot of money.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And what you're touching on there is culture. And as they say, culture eats strategy for breakfast. If we get the culture right, then we can do so much more by our staff being aware that the implications of our actions have carbon footprint factors. We have to recognise that if we address the culture, we can improve this. But I would also say, as well as the fact that where we look at items like this for their waste and their carbon footprint, and while we recognise that we can save costs, and while we recognise that we can save on our carbon emissions, there's also a significant morale component of this. Like, there isn't a day goes by that we don't have a HSC bashing session on our airwaves and in our media, etc. And I appreciate that. But where you give staff a singular sense of purpose, where we can do something together, because the climate crisis is affecting each of us and all of us in the same way. And therefore, if you give us something whereby the implications and actions that each individual mm-hmm. takes can help us all and is therefore good for morale within our system. And you have to look at the NHS. They tied their actions for sustainability to their identity as they work in the NHS, particularly, we say, in Scotland, that they made it one thing that they can be proud of by being an employee within their system. So if we use that approach, therefore, it'll help boost morale, which is badly needed in our healthcare sector.
The HSE would appear to be on this, though. They've produced a climate action strategy last month. Is it good?
So as a volunteer for Irish Doctors for the Environment, I was involved in the formulation of that strategy, and it's a start. It's very well-meaning. There's a lot of high-level managerial people who are very much behind this. But again, it's going to come down to resource allocation. It's going to come down to people committing time, effort and money. It can't just rely on good people around the country to do their best, because we burn out our best people doing that. We need to make sure that as an organisation, that the HSE moves forward with the intentions that they have. That's hugely important. But I would say there's a lot of good resources out there. Greenhealthcare.ie is a simple one. It touches on the four things that I mentioned earlier, which would be waste, risk waste, water management, food. So all of these basic principles apply across the healthcare sector.
But it would be better if it wasn't left up to an individual within a hospital hierarchy to say, OK, we're going to embrace this now.
Completely. Fortunately, there are good green shoots, pardon the pun, around the country. There are great people doing great projects around the country. Irish Doctors of Environment would have been involved in a number of them. But if, for example, that person out there who is a healthcare worker who's looking to do something, they will find a green network near them within their hospital, within their primary care unit, that they can embrace and start a project, and there will be support there for them.
Derek Cawley, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're going to take another break ahead of the news headlines.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.